You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I imagine you may have brought this up somewhere, but we're going to have them in studio, my hope is. But our friend Fred Calgill from WLKY, Channel 32, his son is on the Lego show. How many have they played? I think they've only had one, haven't they? Or they had two? I don't know. One or two?
I forgot. They were advertising it for during the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was coming up that Wednesday, so I think it's Wednesday, I think.
Oh, so tonight would be the second episode.
Today's Tuesday, so tomorrow will be the second episode. So I guess you build Legos, and there's, you know, all those, like the baking show, they give you challenges, and you got to make Legos, and I'm sure there'll be some conflicts, and there'll be a heel or two that, you know, everybody has to hate. I mean, they all follow some sort of a formula, basically. But the fact of the matter is, there's a nice prize on the line, and it's a very clever concept because everybody seems to like Legos. So he's one of the builders, and I'm dying to know how in the world. I mean, the cynic in you could say, well, sure, his dad's in television, but this is a Fox product, and of course, Fred is a CBS guy. So I'm eager to get them in the studio to talk about it. Now, he won't tell us how he did, because he can't do that. There's a confidentiality clause, and I guess if you violate it, whatever they're going to give you as a prize or whatever, they don't give you. So so he's not going to be able to tell us. But I know he survived the first week, so that's good. So this should be fun. I'm kind of looking forward to the thing. That's going to be a Fan Outfitters Twitter poll question. If you had to be on a reality-type game show, what one would you like to be on? And the choices would be a baking show, a cooking show, which is not a baking show, a Lego show, or give me a fourth one. What would the fourth one be? Not a dating show.
I was going to say a dating show.
No.
I think that should be on there. An elimination island show.
I'll put the dating show on before that.
It doesn't have to be like Survivor. It could be like Big Brother.
I hate all those.
You hate pretty much all the reality TV that has to do with drama. Not the ones where it's like there's a real contest involved.
Yes, I like those.
I mean, there's contests in Survivor and stuff like that, but they're usually like obstacle courses.
How about
one
where they have to be naked, which makes no sense at all?
Naked and afraid?
Or just naked and stupid. I mean, I guess it's like...
Why are people afraid? I mean, throw a loincloth on and enjoy yourself.
Because they're naked.
Have some confidence in your body.
No. But the baking show, some of those people who are not professional bakers, some of the stuff they do is amazing.
I love baking
shows.
The
baking show is great. Or we could eliminate the cooking one and make the other one they've got is the one where you have to redesign the room. Have you seen that? That's pretty cool, too.
What about the one? Do you remember Junkyard Wars? I don't know if they still have that or a version of it.
What is that?
They would get these people that were like usually like some form of engineers, just absolutely brilliant people. And they would go into a junkyard and like, okay, you have to make a bulldozer. And they're like, okay. So they would go into the junkyard and they'd find like bits and pieces. Like my favorite one was they had these dudes from NASA versus these dudes from, I think, MIT. I'm not sure. But they had to build an underwater submarine. And the submarine had to, quote unquote, torpedo something. Basically had to run accurate enough that it could run into like a target underwater.
Had to fire a torpedo?
No, the submarine.
Oh.
And so like one team made like they used a sump pump. and it like the action of it like shooting out water like was the propulsion system, and I think the other one used like a fan of some kind.
See that
and
now?
It was
I
awesome.
Agree. See, that's convinced me. What we'll do is we'll combine cooking and baking. That'll be one category. Cooking, baking show, the Lego show, a Junk Wars kind of, you know, create the show there. And what I say the other one was? There was a fourth one we had already. It was cooking and baking. Cooking, baking.
Cooking slash baking. Design. What about, like, the design shows, like Project Runway?
Yeah. No, this is a sports thing. The guys will not vote for that. You know?
Are you kidding me?
They'll vote. They would like to be designing clothes.
Jay, there's a small segment of our listener base that I think really do like The Bachelor and stuff like that. Jason was one of them.
Yeah,
Jason,
The Bachelor. J-Bone's got nothing to do with like Project Runway.
I'm saying that those are shows that you know would think are geared towards women, and I'm just saying that I think there's a lot of guys that are, you know, that kind of like reality shows that are geared towards women. Like J-Bone likes The Bachelor. Jason loved The Bachelor. I love Say Yes to the Dress. I really like Project Runway when I watch it.
I watched Project Runway with your mother for a long time, and it was very entertaining. Yeah, it was very good. Plus, I like to hear Heidi Klum say, "You're out." That was always entertaining, too.
Plus, I'd just like to hear Heidi Klum or hear say anything.
Say the phone book. Yeah. All right, but so that may be it. So maybe we'll do a clothing design show, a cooking baking show, the Lego show, or a Junkyard Wars kind of show.
Well, see, I feel like the Lego show is a little bit too...
Oh, jeez.
The Lego show is too, like, specific.
Specific?
Yeah, because there's only
but
been ever one Lego
Legos.
Show. No,
know,
absolutely.
People love Legos.
They love Legos, but I feel like, you know, you're kind of just pigeonholing it there. And there haven't been a ton of Lego reality shows. You know, there's been a lot of Top Chef and
All right, well,
America's
I'll tell you
Next
what.
Great
I'll
Baker
tell you
and
what.
Cupcake Wars. And
we will make it. We will make it. Each category will be more specific. So, in other words, which of these shows would you rather participate in? And we'll do whatever the British baking show is called, Junkyard Wars, the Lego thing, I'll have to look up the name of that, or Project Runway. There you go. So now we're specific. Now we're on an equal playing field. There's only one of each of them.
Okay, so which of these reality TV shows would you most like to participate in?
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's like... Brickmasters or something like that is
yeah,
the Lego
it is.
One. I forgot the name of it.
Lego Masters, Block Masters, Blockheads.
Maybe I don't know. Are they sponsored by Lego? Did they get
I
the official
Lego? I can't imagine Lego's not involved in some way. I mean, that would
maybe,
be...
but I'm just. I mean, you know, there's other ones. There's Mega Blocks. There's
this is. I think they're only using Lego, but I don't know. That's why we got to get Fred's son in. We got to get Fred and his son to come on. He has to give us all the straight dope on it.
Straight
so,
dope.
Yeah.
Did you just make that up, or was that like a 70s saying? Or?
Oh, it probably goes beyond that. Probably. You never heard that term? Give me the straight dope on it?
No.
Really? Wow.
I like it. But I kind of feel like, you know.
I love
dope.
Paul,
dope always Paul. Had like, you know, oh, wow, that's dope. That's like really cool. Or
no,
dope was like, you know, drugs.
No. I mean, that's, I understand people, you know, hijack terms, even though the spelling's different, like fat, you know, for describing a woman, and fat describing a condition you're trying to alleviate through vitality, wellness, and weight loss. I mean, you know, they pronounce the same but very different meanings. If you go to vitality, wellness, and weight loss, you will absolutely be healthier. You'll watch the weight come off, and you'll do it in a way that they have absolutely orchestrated the program just for you. No two diets are the same, nor should they be. People don't like the same food. People don't have the same deficiencies in the makeup, their body, their minerals, whatever. They can do a body scan in 20 minutes by just putting your hand on this little monitor thing, and they'll tell you what supplements you need, and they'll give you a list of foods from which you can pick, and you will have plenty of delicious, good food that you enjoy, and you will watch the weight come off. And more importantly, most importantly, you will be healthier. Nick has said many times, and it's absolutely true, this is, you know, so many times I was on other plans that you try and do it, and when you were doing it, you could see some of the weight come off. Diets, other diet plans work. I mean, they may not want me to tell you that, but they do. But that's not the issue. The issue is, how do you feel when you're going through it? And I would feel hungry and miserable, agitated. And this, you actually feel better while you're doing it. It's like when you get off, you're almost like, why did I do that? Because I feel so much better when I'm on this plan. And the proof is in the numbers. I've talked about the fact my high blood pressure, which had been a problem for 30 years, 110 over 65 last time at the cardiologist. So
when
they say wellness, they ain't kidding. Yes.
Your boy tried to get – they had a nice little thing. I gave blood at the state fair, and so they had me in the registry. So they reached out. They were like, hey, we got a special going on. You give blood between the 5th and the 8th, and you'll get some movie passes. And it turns out I also got a cool, very nice ice cooler. So that was pretty cool. I went down there, and my veins didn't work. They couldn't find they can't. I've got very stubborn veins.
We're what they call in the blood-taking industry hard sticks, you and I.
Yeah, I'm hit or miss. I mean, they got it pretty much immediately. I mean, there was a little wiggling around, which is never fun, when I went to the state fair. But, I mean, God bless them. They tried. But I hate – God, they made it as painless as possible. But, there was a whole lot of sticking going on, and I wasn't able to give any blood. But they said, you know, it was a good sport. And so they gave me all the prizes anyway. It's a long-winded way of me saying that, hey, you should go donate blood. There's some great stuff going on. There are professionals down there. But as part of the preliminary testing, they had to take my blood pressure. And again, the term they used was perfect. I was like,
right?
124 over like 78 or something
like
that.
And you had high blood pressure for a while, too.
At times. I mean, working with you definitely does that. But, it was
uncalled for.
But no, perfect. The terminology, perfect.
Very nice. So there you go. Hey, blood, because they never could get you stuck?
No, they stuck one arm a bunch, and all three of the attendees went in and stabbed me. That was a lot of fun. And then, because I get a little queasy around needles, but I get, like, you know, I got kind of like used to it after like the third stick. But so they tried the other arm, and they got excited, like there's a little like a little bit of blood, and then it went away. And so then they all tried again. They all had a crack at it. Nothing came out. And I was like, well, hell, you want to go back to the other arm and try? And they're like, well, you know, legally we can only do it.
Are you a zombie?
I don't know. They can only do it once per arm. So I felt really bad. I felt really, really sad. And I was like, you know, I had my like shirt off. So I put like my shirt on. It was like apologizing. It was like, sorry, that's never happened before. Like, it's not you, it's me.
Well,
like, it was like all kinds of like just embarrassment. And the worst part is they're like, wow, you got a really big one here. Like, you know,
that'll be in the mixtape.
I mean, because I do. I've got like two really good veins. I've always heard that, like on both arms. It's like, oh yeah, that should be an easy stick. And then I don't know, my body just gets crappy. It's very annoying.
Whenever I go, I have to, you know, there are nurses that are trained. My guess is they were nurses there, and they're trained to take blood. But whenever I go in, inevitably, and I keep my mouth shut because I don't want to make anybody feel bad, I just let them stick away, and they can't get anything. They have to get a phlebotomist, which is a specialist.
Yeah.
And that person can come in and get something. I always try and lighten the mood by saying, I'll tell you what, let's make a deal. You sit here, hold the needle out, and I'll get in the hall and just get a running start. And I'll come in and just, you know, wherever it happens to go in, we'll probably hit something.
Telling them, I was like, hell, get some anesthetic and some, you know, antiseptic, and just give me that pizza slicer over there. We'll get you a little something. I felt a lot better. I was like, you guys are showering me with gifts and I got nothing. I mean, I got gaboink. I couldn't even fill the little testing thing where that, you know, they take the little sample blood and, you know, make sure it's up to snuff. And holy vey, that was annoying. I felt really, really bad about that. So I think I'm gonna go back either this week or next week.
Where was
sometime.
This?
At the Louisville Blood Center.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was, I remember one time when I got an injury with hockey and I had to go in for like routine testing and they needed to get some blood from me. And I remember it was at Clark Memorial Hospital. And this is not, you know, not a knock on them at all. They do a fine job as well. One time I went in, I was in and out. But this other time, the nurse couldn't do it. The lady that was taking like the actual test couldn't do it. They got the phlebotomist from that floor to come over. She couldn't do it.
Oh,
they
my
got
God.
Another phlebotomist. She couldn't do it.
Oh,
they
get out of here.
No, I got that. I'm not kidding. I got stuck 10 times. They couldn't get it. They were trying my hand. They were trying my arm. They just couldn't get a blank in vein. And then finally they got the lady, like the SEAL Team 6 lady from like the ER. And she came like flying up and was pissed off because she's down there like saving lives. And yeah. she's like, all right, where's this ass, you know, ass hat with like the crappy veins? And they just pointed to me and I was terrified just sitting there. And she's like, all right, we're making this quick. It just came in, stabbed my like arm. And I think my veins just out of sheer fear were like, here, take something. Like they were just like giving like all kinds of fluids, like spit, sweat, whatever. Here, take it. Like, the, and she just got it. And she's like, are we done here? And she just went down and I was. I was like, I think I love you. Like, she was incredible. She was just in, out, like, didn't even, like, John Daly, like, didn't even, like, set his feet and would hit it, like, 300 yards. She just, like, didn't even stop, but just in, out, boom, all right, I got to go save lives. Like, you know, feel better, chucklehead, and just left, and it was like, wow.
The folks who do that for a living definitely see the world differently. Your uncle, I don't know if you know this, your uncle, he's down, well, he's in Raleigh, where I just was. My oldest brother, your Uncle Nick, had about 2 years ago, he's the guy that never complains about anything, so I didn't even know how severe this was. He had an embolism right on the Widowmaker, basically, right? I mean, it's really as bad a place as you could have it. It was there that on the whatever that is, that's an aorta, I guess, an artery, not an aorta, an artery. And it was also in a very sensitive place because it was pressing up against his kidneys. And the long and short of it is they had to do like two procedures before they could even address the embolism. And so what they did is they go in and they put stents in. And if there's a medical professional listening, I'm sure I'm saying something not exactly right, but you'll get the gist of it. And the stents, they put one above it, one below it, and it serves as a way to drain it. And theoretically, anyway, then the blood does not keep going in there and making it get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it's going to burst, and it's like, you know, a balloon. And then when that bursts, you, good night, everybody, you check out, and that's that. So they got it in time, and he's been fine. He's been feeling good, but he has to go back every 6 months for a check, and this was now almost 2 years ago, so I guess this was his third or fourth follow-up visit. And when he went in, it's supposed to be gradually shrinking because the stents now are supposed to make everything that's in it over time gradually come, you know, get the flow going back in a normal manner, and then the embolism goes away. Well, it's not gotten any smaller. It's still very big, and they can't figure out why. The stents are both working. So they, long story made short, they found that occasionally what happens is there's like a little pinhole, and the little pinhole to the side, it's like a leaky faucet. It just drip, 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 blood drips in a drop at a time and doesn't allow the stent to ever get the embolism to ever completely get empty. And so you have to get rid of it. Oh, you have to get rid of that little leak. Okay. So here's the point I'm making. So it's a procedure. And again, if you're a medical person, you can scream at the radio. I'm sure I'm getting terms wrong, but the way it was described to me, it's like if somebody has one of those in your brain, obviously it's very sensitive. They have to make the smallest possible footprint, and they, you know, and so they, it's kind of like a cauterization of it, and they do it with it's very fine work, and so they use the same procedure here because they don't want to be messing around with your kidneys and the artery there, and you're going to your heart. And so the guy, the doctor who he's consulting with, I guess, is one of the leaders in this technique. I guess he either originated it or was one of the first ones to master it, for lack of a better word. So he's meeting with Nick, and he says, I don't think this will be a serious one. I'm going to let my assistant have go at it. And they said, I'll give him three tries, and if he can't do it, I'll come in and do it. It's like, three tries. What is it, a carny game? Like $10, you get three shots.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up.
So he said, I beg your pardon. So he said, no, you'll see. So the guy who was going to do the procedure comes in, and it's one of those things they don't put you to sleep for. They, you know, they make you woozy, and eventually you fall asleep, but you're awake. So at the beginning, when he's still like semi-coherent, he shows him, but they talk about it. It's so funny. He says, oh, there it is right there. He said, that baby's just sitting on a tee. He said, this is going to be no problem. He's sitting on a tee. And sure enough, the new guy came in and did it in one fell swoop, and you go home. They do it as an outpatient procedure, which is
that's crazy.
Yeah, but I love that he talked about, oh, it's sitting on a tee, you know, like you're putting up shells. Hey, I got a stud right here. This is perfect. I mean, you can't ask for a better deal than that. So But like your lady was so pissed off. You can't get I can't get any help around here. You can't just go stick this guy. Get out of the way. Give me the thing. There's your blood. All right. Can I get out of here? It's like, hi, thanks. I just they're very busy folks. So there you go. All right.
Not a group of the day, phlebotomists and surgeons.
Yes. Or people who get stuck.
Yeah, well, anybody.
Are bad sticks. If you're a bad stick or a phlebotomist who can get the blood out of a bad stick, you're in the honor group of the day. Thank you.
And nurses who try hard because I feel bad. They really were giving it their all. They tried. It didn't, like, hurt. I mean, it could have been so much more painful than it was. But it was still, you know, I mean, you still feel a little pinch here and there. And, I'm a little jittery. But they made that unpleasant experience as pleasant as possible. Plus, they had snacks, and they were very friendly.
As long as they got snacks, you're always a happy camper. We'll come back. Stick around. Tommy and Terry are already pissed. 20 minutes, no sports this hour. I no guarantee there'll be more going forward, but we'll try. ESPN 680, 105.7.
Listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I'm here, dude. You're not hearing me? Here I am.
Go.
Am I here? Are you hearing me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. You were saying hello, hello.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you. I didn't know what was going on.
I don't know what the hell was going on there.
That was
just crazy.
That was great radio. Well, I was about to stall because I just figured you went to go grab a cup of coffee or went to the potty or you had a couple frames left in your bowling game or something. I don't know.
No.
But I was going to remind everybody. The Polar Plunge, ESPN Louisville, has committed to braving the cold and getting freezing for a reason to show our support for the over 10,200 Special Olympics athletes in Kentucky. That's right, we're raising money for the chance to jump into ice-cold water for a great cause. All donations to our team will go to Special Olympics Kentucky to provide year-round sports training and competition.
Year-round sports training.
Opportunities to children and adults with intellectual disabilities. Our goal is $3,000. If you help us raise $3,000, we will have a team of jumpers taking the cold, cold, icy plunge. The jumpers will include the VP himself, Drew Diener. The host of The Drive on 93.9 The Ville, Mark Ennis. The program director, the host of The Take, Andy Sweeney. All around personality and man about town, Perrin Johnson. Your boy, Nick Valvano. Assistant to the general manager of the radio station, Patty Ice, and host of the Trading Paint podcast, which will be coming back this Sunday. Very excited for that. LSL host and Coors Light postgame show host, Ethan Moore. Sales Weasel and Sunday Morning Hangover.
Weasel.
Hybrid Phil Baker. The fabulous Phil Baker. Jason Entz, who I have nothing special to say about. The lovely and talented Don Yates and more. All of that. We will be taking the icy plunge. Find the link to donate on ESPNLouisville.com and on our social media pages, or go to Louisville Polar Plunge, their website, and search the team ESPN Louisville Polar Plunge. Jump date is February 22nd at the Middletown, Texas Roadhouse. Want to start your own team? Go to LouisvillePlunge.com. Jason Entz, I'm just kidding. You know I love you. He is hosting tonight's Kentucky Farm Bureau UK basketball postgame show tonight on ESPN 680 105.7. Back to you, Bob.
Thanks very much, Nick, and thanks to all of you for joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the V-Show on ESPN 680 105.7. How competitive has the ACC been this year? Well, let me tell you. Over 35% of the games, no matter the matchup, I mean, you know, not just, when the team's at the top of the standings or whatever, 35% of the matchups so far have been decided by 5 points or less. I mean, that is what you're looking at. And I'm loving it because, I mean, anytime you tune in, you're going to have a pretty good chance of seeing a good game. a competitive game. And it's making it so no lead is safe. I mean, last night, the Florida State game, they could not throw the ball in the ocean to start the game. And in Cameron, you know, a very difficult place to play, Duke was on fire early. Not on fire, but certainly efficient. They were shooting around 50%. Florida State, I think, missed their first seven shots. They got down in a New York minute by 10, double digits. And then they came back and took a lead in the second half. And then Duke finished the game on a 20-13 run and won by seven. But the fact is, it was a very it was a very competitive game, and that's what you're seeing in the league. So there's a couple of things about that. It's time to now. You'll find out. Really, it's the horse race. I used to always say, you know, the Derby is interesting, but when they just start around on the backstretch, they're just coming in to start the final turn there. That's when the race really starts. At that point, you can get a feel for who's really in it, who's not in it, who's, you know, going to not make a run that day. It doesn't always play out that way, but it looks that way more often than not. And so I think that's where you are with this ACC season right now, because, you know, we were writing off teams early. They asked me Packer and Durham show, and when I did was on with them, you know, the two teams that were surprises to everybody about, frankly, how bad they were early, in Syracuse and in North Carolina, who you thought might get it going. And I said I thought Carolina might be the team because Cole Anthony, when he got healthy, he's, you know, they still have good players on that team. But it wound up being Syracuse that got it going a little bit. I mean, Syracuse is now 7-5 in the league. They're tied. They are very much in the hunt for a double bye. Well, Carolina is one game from being in last place. They're half a game ahead of Wake Forest and Miami for last place. And yet, you know, you go see them almost win the other day. They had Duke dead to rights twice in the Saturday game. I'm reluctant to say this because when you say something like this, you're really questioning a guy's coaching tactics. And I get it. I mean, Roy Williams deservedly is in the Hall of Fame. I mean, what he built at Kansas and at Carolina, two powerhouse programs, the guy knows what he's doing. But I wonder if when you come out and tell the whole world that this is basically what he's saying is the worst team he's ever coached there, you wonder if, you know, words are powerful things, you know, and you wonder if a game like that at the end of the Duke game, Carolina made a bunch of boneheaded, nervous plays that are plays that players that are not really sure how good they are make. They're decisions that you make out of uncertainty. And I'm wondering if those comments came back to bite him in that game because, you know, Duke had no business winning that game, and yet they kept playing as if they really expected they were going to, even though it's ridiculous to think they were going to win the game. But they did. And I'm just wondering, he wishes he hadn't said that now, because if you put them in that scenario again, twice, once in regulation, once in overtime, I mean, you recreate that exact same situation 100 more times, Carolina might win 99 of them. I mean, that's how unlikely it is. Do you realize all the things that had to happen in the last 30 seconds of both of those games for Duke to win it? I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. But Carolina played nervous. They looked nervous in that stretch. And that, you know, I've said this before. I don't want to sound like I'm contradicting myself. That can you hear that, by the way? Do you hear my phone ring on the air? Did you hear that?
No, but I heard you be distracted by something.
No, it
sounded like, well, I mean, not like major league. It wasn't like you were like in the middle of the point. Like, I really do think the ACC's top.
The
hell was that? But it was just like the slight pause.
But I mean, it's one of those things. I don't want to sound like I'm contradicting myself, because I say all the time, confidence comes from only one thing: successful performance under pressure. That's what it is. So when people say, oh, that coach, he didn't give me confidence. Well, he can't give you confidence, son. You're going to have to earn that. But you can give players trust, and the trust can let them go out and generate their confidence. And he came across in those statements like he didn't trust them. I don't trust that you're going to be able to do this. And so they went out and played that way. And I don't know. Maybe there's nothing to that at all. Whatever motivational tactics he's used over his whatever 40-year career, they've worked quite well, thank you. But I couldn't help but think that I was looking at this and said, they're still not sure they're going to win this game. I mean, at that point, they should be, you know, Magic Johnson had that great term, which I use all the time. It's winning time, fellas. That's the way you got to look at it. All right, man, it's time for us to win this thing. And you're going at it with the expectation that you're going to win the game. Now, sometimes it's whistling in the dark if you haven't yet achieved it. But if you think that, you know, you've got the trust of your coach, it helps. And then once you win a few, then you do develop that confidence. And Duke has it. And so far, Louisville's got it this year. That's the difference. That is the biggest difference between this year's Louisville team and last year's. There are others, of course, that you can point to statistically, analytically, all those things. But the fact of the matter is they had a bunch of opportunities late against teams last year. The Duke game at the first and foremost in your mind, and they were in that same boat. As a new coach, it takes a while. I don't think they don't think he had faith in them, but they did not play like a team that expected to finish. And if you look at them this year, it's ridiculous how often they've managed to finish games on the road. Still haven't lost on the road, and some really close ones to do that. And they managed to, when they had a big lead, you know, against teams, as they did against Virginia, and then Virginia comes back, and they managed to get it done late. That's what Duke did to Florida State yesterday. That's a good sign. But to that point, that's why I say it was some of the narrative about, gee, how was that game so close or whatever. There are some teams that have just evolved into better teams than we thought they might be. I'll be candid with you. Virginia, I didn't know that they would be in a position to have that double bye. Right now they're tied with Syracuse for the fourth spot. I watched them early. You talk about struggling to score. My goodness, but they keep playing. They've gotten better. They've gotten better and better offensively. That's why you go to practice every day. And they've got, you know, experienced players. Clark is an experienced player. It's taken him a while to adjust to the added responsibility they've given him. But the point is, they wound up to be a good team, and so Louisville did well to fight them off late in the game. And now Syracuse, who looked like they were lost early, they're 14-9, and 7-5 in the league, and right on the cusp of a double bye. Notre Dame, I believe, has won their last four in a row. After Louisville and Duke, they have the longest winning streak going in the league right now. Louisville's won 10 in a row. Duke's won 6 in a row. Notre Dame's won 4 in a row. So it's just, but this is because now they're coming into the turn, and now we're starting to realize, you know, who is going to be able to possibly make a stretch run. Virginia Tech, which was very impressive early, is starting to come to that turn, and you're wondering, I'm not sure they're going to be able to make a run. They're 5-8. They're losing some games. They're still 14-10, but, you know, they've struggled some. Certainly, you know, as I said, Notre Dame has really come on. NC State has resurged a little bit now. They're 6-6, and they're just a game back of those two teams for the double bye spot. So I'm just telling you as a fan, and I thought Roy Williams said it best after the Duke game. He said, you know, if you were a college basketball fan who didn't have a vested interest in the outcome, you had to be tremendously entertained by this game. He said, I did have a vested interest in the outcome, so I didn't like it very much. But that's kind of how I see the ACC tournament. I mean, obviously the biggest story for Louisville fans or anybody who'd be, you know, listening in a different market, you want to know what are the chances for your team. But just from an entertainment standpoint, my goodness, right from the jump, you're going to have some really compelling games. And I wouldn't, you know, write off teams. Somebody maybe could spring an upset or two and play themselves into the if not the Final Four, at least get a crack at one of those top four double bye teams. It could be a team that, you know, wins twice and plays their way through into that. So, because as you know, there's teams that get double byes, teams that get single byes, and then teams that have to play the very first night and would have to play all five nights if they were to go all the way to the championship game. Who knows? One of those. I mean, I wouldn't want any part of Carolina, although, like I said, the single thing that's working against them right now, looking at them, is that I don't think they believe they can win. And I'm wondering about those comments from Roy Williams. But I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be a fascinating tournament in Greensboro again, which some of you fans, if you've not gone, it is definitely a different vibe than, I mean, Jim Boeheim hates it, makes no bones about it. I understand. These are guys that came from the Big East. All the games were played in NBA arenas, in NBA cities, and you go to Greensboro, and it's kind of a bit like a hoedown. But I like it because the whole city is wrapped up in it. It really is. You go into a restaurant, everybody's talking about it. It's usually relatively warm because it's such a southern climate, and so there's a lot of stuff going on outside in the parking lot. It's kind of a football mindset there, tailgating. There's bands. There's all sorts of stuff going on. So, I mean, I don't know that I would want to go back there every year, but I think it's cool that they're going there now and after a run of you know, games in big cities, in New York and Washington, D.C. And it's really, as much as I've enjoyed coming here to Atlanta, and by the way, this has been, it was astounding. I got to tip my hat to Atlanta. But since I had to get here on my own, and I normally when I do an ESPN game, I'll get a rental car. I don't get a rental car when I come with Louisville because after the game, we jump on the bus and go to the airport and go, and I won't have the opportunity to return it because we generally don't go at a commercial airport. You're going out of one of the private airports. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get from the airport to the hotel here, and I was looking online at one of those apps just to get an idea about what the cab would cost, and I found MARTA, which is, of course, a train. So I said, wow, you know, if I got a chance to ride the train, you know, even though it's a kind of a just a subway-ish kind of thing, if I can do that, you know, I'm going to jump at that. So I look, and it says there's two lines that go literally right to the airport. And so you hear that sometimes, right to the airport, but then you find out you got to walk, like, you know, a mile. It's on the airport owns the property, but it's way the hell away from everything. And then when you get off the stop, you might have another, who knows, half a mile, three-quarters of a mile to walk. And I've got the two bags. Neither of them are on wheels. I normally bring wheeled bags, but this trip, for reasons that I won't get into, neither of them are on wheels. So I'm like, I don't know. So I was going to take this cab, and as I was walking, the cab stand is right near baggage claim. And on the way, between baggage claim and the door that leads to the cab, there it is, boom, MARTA. The station's right there. I'm saying, let me go take a look at this. So I go in, and I look, and there's a map on the wall, very clear, and you can take either the red line or the gold line, and you buy a one-way ticket, $3.50, as opposed to a $35, $40 cab ride. And I said, I can do that. So I said, I hope it's not too long when I get out. So I get to the stop, the Peachtree stop, and I ask a fine gentleman, excuse me, where would the Westin Peachtree be? He said, take that elevator, go up, make a U-turn, and walk that way. So how far? He might say, a half a mile, 10 blocks. He said, you'll see it. It's right there. Sure enough, you come on the street, and boom, there it is, right there. It could be more convenient if I'd taken a cab, and it cost me $3.50. I got a nice train ride. I did a crossword puzzle on the 25-minute train ride out here, and it was $3.50 to do it. So tip of the hat to Atlanta for their mass transit system. Very, very nice.
I saw something, and I wanted to get your thoughts on.
Okay.
In Europe, a guy flew to, like, it was like Edinburgh to London, like a 4-hour train ride. He flew all the way to Berlin and then to Edinburgh. And basically, so he went, like, to Edinburgh via, like, Europe because the flight was cheaper than the train ride. What the hell? You're the defender of trains. What's up with that? Where'd you go? I didn't think it was that bad a question. Jeez. Really? Okay. No, that's fine. Let's go fornicate with myself in the corner. Jeez.
All right, I apologize for that. We occasionally will have the dreaded glitch, as Rudy Martsky, the media columnist for USA Today, used to write. And so, Nick, I'm sorry to make all you have to listen to it again, but all I heard was, Nick said, I want to ask you about some in Europe, and then the thing died on me. And I got back at the end so I could hear him just where he was saying he's going to go in the corner, and I don't want to get into that. And then he threw the commercial very angrily. So I'm going to ask the listener.
I thought you were ignoring me.
No. The thing, I was frantically resetting, powering down, powering up. So if you can, the listeners will indulge, give me the USA Today version of what you said, and I'll give you the reply.
Basically, you're always such a proponent of trains.
Love trains. Adore right. trains.
Andy's right behind me and chuckled the second I said that, a proponent of trains. Because, I mean, seriously, that would be that could arguably go on your tombstone. But one of the things you kind of promote about it is it's cheaper. And this dude in England was going, I don't know the exact cities. I'm sure Ents and all of our EPL friends are screaming at me. But I thought he was going from, like, Edinburgh to, like, London. Okay. Or maybe it was Manchester. I don't remember. But basically, it's a four-hour train ride.
Okay.
And it was cheaper for him to get a flight that took him to Berlin and then from Berlin to fly back to Edinburgh.
Well, what do I care? I don't live in Scotland or England. I don't know. I've never taken trains there. I'm just telling you, here, Amtrak will always be cheaper than flying most of the time. And even if it's close, comparable in price, it's a much more humane way to travel. I mean, I don't know. Remember there was a talk about how the airlines were hurting? Every flight I've taken for the last four games has been Sardine City. They're all packed. But that's how I kind of knew. I really believe there's a thing called travel karma. And your mother claims she has terrible travel karma, and I get lucky travel karma, but I don't always. But this trip, I think, had good travel karma because I was on the plane today. They kept saying over and over, we're packed, we need people to check bags. And I couldn't check bags because I was kind of cheating a little bit. I had a ticket back to Louisville, as if you were joining us earlier. I flew from Louisville to Raleigh, round trip through Atlanta, and I was supposed to go back to Louisville. But if I change, it's so bizarre. Even though I paid for all the way back to Louisville, if I just chose to get off the plane in Atlanta, I would have had to cancel that ticket, pay a $200 change fee. So the lady, the nice lady at the airport, I don't want to get her in trouble, so I won't say which one it was, said, well, just get off. If you did it a lot, then they would say something, but if it's a one-time deal, nobody's going to say anything. So I couldn't check my bags, because if I checked it, it would have gone all the way to Louisville. So I had a carry bag on, and I had two bags, and they kept saying over and over, we're going to be so packed, we're going to need 15 to 20, I forget what the number was, volunteers to check their bags at the gate here, and I'm thinking that ain't going to be me. And so, I mean, it's absolutely Sardine City. It's a bigger plane. It's three seats on each side. And I looked, and every seat on the plane was, I had a window seat. I usually ask for an aisle, but, you know, can't, as long as I wasn't in the middle, can't be picky. And this is not an exaggeration, every single seat on the plane was taken except the middle seat in our row between me and the other guy. So I knew I was in good karma already. I had nobody next to me. The only guy on the plane who wasn't sitting with somebody on either side of them or packed. I mean, when it's that crowded, too, I love to get aisle seats, but I always feel bad for the guy in the middle. So I'm sitting like a Cirque du Soleil performer into the aisle. And then inevitably you do that and you get the crap kicked out of you because they come by with the cart and they hit you in the elbow, hit you in the knee. Somebody walking to the bathroom steps gives you an elbow in the hay in the face. It's flagrant one. I've tried to throw guys off the plane. They won't do that. But, I was perfect. We had great comfort. And then I got here not knowing where I was going, jumped on the train, and $3.50. So, I mean, all I can tell you is I looked, even an Uber or a Lyft was going to be about 10 bucks or 11 bucks. A cab would have been like 30 bucks. And this was $3.50. And literally, when it let me out, I came up at the street level. I was 30 feet from the front door. So I rest my case. You're a witness. Fabulous. I'd like to, but I can't because I don't have the copy.
I think you could do it. It's in your email. I believe in you. But while you're looking that up in your email.
No, I can't look it up in the email because if I go on my email, guess what's going to happen again?
Okay. Once again, ESPN Louisville is your home for the Jeff Wall Show. Be sure to join Coach and Nick Curran tonight at 7 o'clock on 93.9 The Ville. Or you can just join them live from Mark's Feed Store, the Fern Creek location. Remember, if you are hungry, use promo code RadioXL for a two-topping extra-large pizza and a two-liter for just $14. Just go to PapaJohns.com or the Papa John's app.
You know what I want to say, even though it would make no sense? You know, Jeff Walsh show on most of these ESPN Louisville stations. I always like when they say that. It makes no sense for us because it's only one station. But
well,
that
three.
Sounds so cool. Yeah, but well, then I'd be misleading them because he's not going to be on most of the stations. He's going to be on one station.
Ooh, we had I'm just checking the UPS jobs text line as we
speak.
As we wrap up. Nick, always appreciate your comments. Oh, thanks. But minor point, Edinburgh is pronounced Edinburgh. Ah. Oh, thank you. Thank you
really?
For that.
Really? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
You should have saved that for tomorrow.
Yeah,
for,
we want to know Wednesday.
We want to know Wednesday. Hey, by the way, guess who's right in the hotel next to me?
Who's that?
I forget which title we give him, Mr. Information or Professor Knowledge or whatever. Birdhead Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he's the Emperor of Information.
Emperor of Information.
And then Tom Farmer is Professor Knowledge.
There you go.
We have an angry talk sports, damn it, but there's smiley faces on it, so I feel like, you know, it's in good nature.
Somebody who gets the show.
And 219, Bob, the blood keeps flowing in there, and it gets bigger and bigger. That'll be on the mixtape.
Oh, there you go.
Very good. 219.
Bob Valvano explains basic sex education. Join us. That's Wednesday at...
usually there's something...
That is generally how it works, you know.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up there,
I
Bob.
Think I can tell you about Lightstream. Lightstream is going to save you money because many of you are still looking at your credit card balances from the holidays. And even if you were not irresponsible, chances are you charged some things there and you're looking at it now. It's like Jerry Seinfeld says when you go to the restaurant and you know, they give you the thing at the end of the meal. And now you're full and you're thinking, why am I paying for all this food now? I'm not hungry. Well, it's the same thing. Maybe the holiday furor is over and you're saying, I don't know if I really should have spent all that, but you're on the hook for it. So why pay interest rates that are 20, 22, 24% when you can get an interest rate, an absolutely astoundingly low interest rate from our friends at Lightstream and save yourself hundreds of dollars. It is that simple. You can apply online. It is very, very simple. And if you take a look at the difference between paying the I should have the copy in front of me, and I'm telling you I don't. It's, what is it, Nick? 5-point-something%, I believe, the interest rate.
Yes.
Okay. So you're talking about 5 and change as opposed to 22, 23, 24. Yeah. Multiply that and see how much money you'll save. Take advantage of this opportunity. Lightstream believes people with good credit deserve a good, low, affordable interest rate to pay off these credit cards. And you can do it if you get a credit card consolidation loan from our friends at Lightstream. So check them out, Lightstream.com. The only way you can get it, though, is you have to use our code, right? It's Lightstream.com/Valvano. And you'll get an even greater discount if you apply for that loan, the credit card consolidation loan. We'll be back here again tomorrow in Atlanta. You guys have a great day. Sweeney's next, ESPN Radio.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.